If we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And as a result of that, that begins to spill over into the lives of other people who are no longer simply faces, but they are real people with real needs, with real desires, with a real need for the warmth of the Father's home. It's not really going to be the preaching. It is going to be saying, God, what is there within us that must be cleansed and forgiven and taken care of so that we have fellowship with you and therefore have fellowship with one another?
Today on the Songtime broadcast, we'll continue our study with Erwin Lutzer as we're looking at 1 John and how the light of the gospel brings fellowship for believers. But first, we're joined once again by Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs as we explore the world and the sort of persecution that is taking place even in our present day. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. This week, we've been joined by Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs as we've been really exploring the globe and discovering all of these various countries where persecution is still taking place around the world and people that we need to be praying for as they are our brothers and sisters in Christ suffering for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Todd, tell us a little bit about what's happening in Laos. This is a country we don't hear very much about here in the West. So what is happening with the persecuted Christians in that country?
Laos is a communist nation. It is a place where Christians are persecuted. And many times the driver of persecution is the headman in the village. If the headman is very opposed to the gospel, there will be persecution in that village. It's almost 100% chance. If the headman is less opposed to the gospel, say maybe his wife has become a Christian or his daughter has become a Christian, and he says, oh, you know, that actually is not a problem. They're not bad. They're actually nicer to me now. They're easier to get along with now. He might be more open, and there might be no persecution in that village. So one of the things that Christians are intentionally trying to do is reach out to these village headmen. We had a Christian who came to Christ just a little over a year ago in Laos and was kicked out of his village. His family was against him. The headman of the village was against him. He was kicked out. The Voice of the Martyrs actually was able to help him. We were able to provide him with 3 months of living expenses to give him a place to stay, some food on his table while he was kind of trying to reestablish, okay, I can't live in my village anymore. Where am I going to live? What am I going to do for a job? What does this look like? So we were able to help him for 3 months. He never gave up, though, on his village and especially on his family. In fact, he continued to go back and visit. He continued to try to be kind to them and accepting of them and reach out to them. He got together with some other Christians over Christmas, and they had a big Christmas celebration in the village. They actually bought a cow. They butchered it. They had meat for everybody. They invited the whole village to come, including the headman of the village, to come to this Christmas gathering. And it wasn't an evangelistic thing. It was a celebration. They obviously said, hey, we're celebrating Christmas. This is when Christ was born. But it wasn't really a sermon. That wasn't really a kind of an outreach event. It was just a fellowship event and a kind of get-to-know-you event. At the end of that Christmas session, the headman of the village stood up and said, you know, Christians are not bad people. It is okay to be a Christian in this village, which again, 8 months before, this guy had been kicked out of the village for being a Christian. Now you have the village headman saying, actually, it's okay to be a Christian in this village. It's okay for you to be here. They have now actually dedicated a church building in that village. So we've gone from in 1 year from the only Christian in the village being kicked out to now there's a church building, there's a church that's meeting in the village, and the headman says, that's okay, so there's not going to be persecution, all because this one guy came to faith, and then even after he was kicked out, he didn't give up. He kept going back. He kept trying to make inroads, and today there's a church in that village because of his faithfulness.
One of the countries that I'm most interested in hearing about is Mozambique. Obviously, this is a country that we don't hear a lot about in the mainstream media, but what has been happening there in recent years is just a bloody war and a fight for power, and Christians are caught in the crossfire there.
They are. There is a terrorist group in the northern part of Mozambique. They've actually pledged allegiance to ISIS. They are trying to set up a caliphate in that part of the country. They have literally gone into villages and gathered everyone in the village together and started asking one by one, are you a Christian or a Muslim? Are you a Christian or a Muslim? Are you a Christian or a Muslim? If you say Christian, you're given an opportunity to convert on the spot to Islam, or you're executed right there in front of everyone. That is the level of violence that is happening in northern Mozambique. We recently had one of our workers who was on a bus that got stopped at a checkpoint by the terrorists. And typically in that situation, it's again, they get on the bus and they start asking passenger by passenger, are you a Christian or a Muslim? Are you a Christian or a Muslim? This was a miraculous intervention of God. The bus driver said, no, all my passengers are Muslims. And apparently he slipped them a few dollars and they waved the bus through. So our coworker who was on this bus thinking like, okay, you know, what am I going to do when they start asking? The bus was waved through and he was miraculously spared that day. But that's the level of violence. One of the things we have seen, even in the last few weeks, we know of at least 11 churches that have been burned in northern Mozambique, burned to the ground. They see the gospel as the enemy. They see the church as the enemy. So churches are targeted. Pastors are targeted. We've seen 11 churches destroyed just in the last couple of weeks. Right now, I believe the UN estimate right now is 850,000 people have been displaced by this violence. Many of them are Christians. Some of them are Muslims who say, I don't want to live in a caliphate. I don't want to be that kind of Muslim. So they are displaced as well. One of the things we've seen since the beginning of this year is those attacks are moving further and further south into more of Mozambique. And so that is affecting Christians. That's affecting some of these displaced people that have been sort of in those areas right along where the conflict has happened. The conflict moves south. They have to move further south. Those camps have to move further south. And so it's coming a humanitarian crisis. And like you say, it's not something the world is talking about. For whatever reason, the world is kind of overlooking the suffering that's going on there. But it is a place where Christians are specifically being targeted by this terrorist group.
We've been talking with Todd Nettleton, who is with Voice of the Martyrs, a great ministry with many different facets, including their website at persecution.com. If you'd like to find out more information about Todd and their ministries, please head there at persecution.com or look them up. Just Google Voice of the Martyrs. So many great resources, including their app, their radio broadcast. It's always a privilege to have him here on the broadcast to help us stay informed about how to better pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are around the world. So, Todd, once again, thank you for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
It has been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Voice of the Martyrs is a ministry that I highly recommend. Todd has been on the broadcast many times before, for this very reason, because we believe in the importance of this ministry. There are so many things that are happening in the world in which we're living today, and we need to be reminded of that. And I know how hard and how challenging that is and can be, because we don't want more negativity in our lives. I understand that. But the truth is, you're getting a lot of negativity just by being on social media and by listening to the mainstream media. You're seeing all of this evil and destruction in the world in which we're living today, and we don't know how to filter that and understand it. A ministry like Voice of the Martyrs not only presents the reality of what's happening in the world, but it also presents you an opportunity to join together with other fellow Christians. It is teaching us a biblical discipline of what Christ is calling us and what 1 John is telling us to do, to join together in fellowship with other believers, those who are in the light, to confront the darkness. There's a lot that we can learn from our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. There's also much that we can offer by way of support and prayers for them. It's their main request. They always ask for our community to be praying for them, for boldness in the proclamation of the gospel. So I want to encourage you to head over to the Ministry of Voice of the Martyrs and check out their website and their many different facets, but also to be praying for what we've talked about today, what's happening in Laos and what's happening in Mozambique, or earlier this week talking about what's happening in Nepal, India, and China, and all of those other countries that are having a predominant amount of persecution, and persecution that's even taking place in our own backyard. So to find out more information, again, you can give us a call. It's 508-362-7070, or you can head over to our website at songtime.com. Well, today we're continuing our study here in 1 John, and this great introduction reminds us that John was one of the first eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he wants us to know that we share a fellowship with him and the other apostles, those who were the ones to witness the risen Savior, but we share with them in fellowship because in Christ we are one. We are together. One family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And therefore, we are in the light. And that fellowship is something quite special. Here is Dr. Erwin Lutzer with a conclusion to this week's study in 1 John.
So it's radical commitment to God, whatever he might have you do or say. Secondly, radical commitment to one another. It flows out of that. That means that we begin to sacrifice for others. That means that we begin to get to know others and bring them into the circle of our sacrifice and our joy and our prayers. And how I thank God for the many, many people who pray for us as a staff. And you bring them in because you're radically committed to one another. In fact, the Bible says that you should be willing to lay down your life for somebody. And you and I, nobody's ever asked us to do that. Nobody's ever asked me to do that. They ask a whole lot less, and it becomes a burden. Why? If you're not walking in the light. When you walk in darkness, every act of sacrifice is a resentful burden. You walk in the light, and it's a joy. There was a deacon who was given an assignment, and that was to find out who in the world was stealing the soap in the washrooms of the church. Back in the days, you know, when they just put a bar of soap there, now I guess they've got all kinds of fancy gadgets, but every time they did it, I'll tell you something, they turned their back, the soap was gone. So this guy decided to hide in a washroom. Maybe behind the garbage can or whatever, but he was there. In walks a man, takes the bar of soap, wraps it in a Kleenex, puts it in his pocket. The deacon did not see who it was because he saw only the back of the man, but he shouted, "I saw you do that!" And the man turned around, and instantly the deacon was looking into the eyes of a very close friend. Now, can you imagine how that moment was transformed when he recognized who was doing it? You know, as long as it's somebody out there without a name, as long as it's somebody out there, you don't care too much, but when it's somebody you know, then it has a different face. And this is the outcropping now of fellowship one with another and being involved in other people's lives. When I came to this church many years ago, there was a woman who used to walk along LaSalle Street. She was an older woman who used to just curse and swear obscenities to herself as she walked along. And as from time to time we would see her and she'd walk by us with all of this awful stuff coming out of her, we just kind of ignored her. I mean, you know, she seemed to be perhaps mentally unstable and so forth. And one day when I saw her, I thought, what if she were my mother? Boy, did that put a different face on it. And then I began to think, you know, maybe she is somebody's mother. And I began to think, who knows the abuse that this woman endured? Who knows the men that have taken advantage of her? Who knows what addiction and sin she fell into? And after that, whenever I saw her, I tried to walk with her and I tried to talk with her and tell her about the love of Jesus. Now, I wasn't successful. This is not a success story. All that I'm trying to say is that if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, And as a result of that, that begins to spill over into the lives of other people who are no longer simply faces, but they are real people with real needs, with real desires, with a real need for the warmth of the Father's home. I hadn't planned on saying this, but I'm on a roll today. It's not really going to be the preaching. It's not going to be necessarily the choir and the beautiful music, though we thank God for all that. It is going to be walking in the light, beginning to seek God in our prayer meeting, which incidentally is a marvelous experience at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. It is going to be saying, God, what is there within us that must be cleansed and forgiven and taken care of so that we have fellowship with you and therefore have fellowship with one another? I believe that just as the early church was unstoppable, so we can be too, under the good hand of our God.
The strategy of evil has always been the same from the beginning, to divide and to conquer, to separate and to overwhelm. It was there at the very beginning when the serpent in the wilderness tempted Adam and Eve, splitting Adam and Eve against each other, but also separating them from God himself. And that brought sin into the world and therefore disfellowship, that we were broken in our relationship with God, cast out of the garden and unable to get back that relationship of walking with God in the cool of the day. But Jesus came to bring that fellowship back. And the devil is still trying, even today. All that is evil and destructive in our world is meant to cause division, cause separation. And John is writing this letter to the first century church saying that the gospel of light actually brings fellowship, brings us back together. But the darkness cuts through the light to cause division and cause people to separate from each other. It's actually why most cults require you to set a point of division and cause you to cut off your ties to all of your family and your loved ones and your community. They want to isolate you so then they can smother you with their own teaching and their own doctrine. It's why the culture today wants us to be separated from our families, wants to turn parents against their children and children against their parents. It's a cultural war that we are facing. It is happening on so many different fronts. And it's why we need the gospel front and center. At the core of our message needs to be the good news that brings everything into the light. It exposes the evil of our world, but it also unites us in the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, the eternal life through Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you. I know that there are many challenges in the world today and in so many areas that we are being pulled to and fro, but we don't need to participate in this sort of divisiveness of our culture. We have been given the truth. We have been given the life. We are called to stand firm and to stand fast. So I want to encourage you and challenge you to hold on to these truths, to be bold, to not compromise the truth because the culture is telling us, well, if you just compromise a little bit, then we'll accept you, only to move the goalpost. They'll keep doing that. It is a bait and switch that we cannot keep falling for, but to hold fast the truth of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins. That means we're all sinners, all of us, them included, and we fall short of the glory of God, and we need an atoning sacrifice. And Christ became the propitiation for us. He died for our sins. To deny that is to make ourselves a liar and to make God a liar. And that is exactly the sort of evil that our world is trying to deny, that we are not sinners. We don't need God. We need him. Christ died for our sins, and he rose again. He rose again to offer us new life. That means that we ought to live a different way. We cannot continue in sin. We have been clothed in righteousness, therefore we ought to walk in a manner that is worthy of our calling, worthy of our new attire. We ought to live out lives that are holy and reflecting of Christ and who he is. And we look forward to his rule and reign. Christ is king, and he has promised to come back and to establish his kingdom here on earth, just as it is in heaven. As we continue to advance the kingdom of God, we need to remember our calling to bring repentance and holiness to the world in which Christ has come to redeem. And that is our message. We cannot compromise on it. We cannot waver. We must communicate that message to all of those around us. I hope that you believe in that. I hope that you support the work of the gospel in your local church, in your local communities, but also here at Songtime. Support the work of the ministry here as we seek to articulate the gospel on a regular basis without compromise, without wavering, without being distracted by lesser issues. We want to communicate Christ and communicate the good news of what he has done for us. If you believe in that work and that ministry, write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, 1 John 3:23 and 24. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son of God, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us.